Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Say it like you mean it.
Amen.
He woke you up this morning.
Amen.
Touched you with his finger of love, started you on his way. And when you are able to get up, stand up, dress up, speak up, and just walk up, that's a blessing all by itself. I don't know about y'all, but I just thank God every day for what he is doing, what he will do, and what he continued to do. Good to be with you once again. For those that I haven't seen since last year, I'd like to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother.
God have blessed us to come over into another year. So we have so much to be thankful for. There's a lot of folks didn't make it. Did not make it to this year 2020. But then we thank God that he allowed us to get a snapshot of this new year, to be able to do some things more powerful for him. I'm trying to see how I want to get started this morning. It's been a while since I've been with you, but we thank God for the opportunity from your leaders, Brother Carter and Brother Burnside, for the invitation. And we are always delighted when we are invited to come and have a word to say pertaining to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we cannot say enough about what Jesus is doing for each and every one of us. And you know, when you sit down and look at it, you can say, you know, in your own words, you have met people and you say, well, you know, there's nobody like John or there's nobody like Joe. But have you ever just stopped to consider that there's nobody like Jesus? Did y'all hear what I said? Nobody like Jesus. Well, how do you know? Well, his words are true. His motives are pure. His ways are just. His name is holy. His heart is kind. His grace is sufficient. His burden is light. His rest is satisfying. His yoke is easy. His promises are sure. His mercy is great. His power is unlimited. His victory is complete. His touch is refreshing. His joy is unspeakable. His spirit is quickened. His assurance is confident. His ears are attentive. His hands are outstretched. His eyes are compassionate. His works are righteous. And his heaven is glorious. There's nobody like Jesus. Well, this morning, want to see if we can open this up like this. You know, a lot of times when we are confronted with a task to do or something to do, we have the ability to come up with excuses. You know, they might ask you to do this or to do that, and if you're here at the church, they might say, can you teach this class this week? And you look around and you come up with an excuse that might hinder you from teaching that class. And even in the Bible days, there was men that God called upon that had excuses. I think I want to look at this morning, God answers for our excuses. God answers for our excuses. See, we might have excuses about everything that we project ourselves into. But I stopped by this morning to tell you that God's got an answer for our excuses. We should not have excuses when it comes down to serving God. So the next time you feel like God can't use you, remember Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. But yet God saw fit to use these individuals. So I don't care what your handicap, what might be going on in your life, God finds a way to use you. We need to understand that when God calls upon us, he already knows our capabilities. Is that all right? When God calls upon us, he already know your capability. He know what you can do. So there's no need for you to be afraid. There's no need for you to come up with an excuse because you feel that God called upon me and I don't know how I'm going to successfully complete the job. Well, let's dig a little deeper into this. Over in the book of Exodus that was read into our hearing this morning, Exodus chapter 3, old familiar story. Probably have been told and taught this story many, many times. First of all, we know the book of Exodus is the coming out. In other words, coming out of whatever they may be caught up in. But it means to exit. Exodus. Here was some people of God that had been in bondage for a long time. And God decided to call upon a man by the name of Moses. Do y'all know Moses? Have you read about Moses? Moses was just like any other man. But when God called upon Moses, Moses had excuses. Did y'all hear me? Moses had excuses. And just like when God called upon Moses, or when God calls upon us, we have excuses. So I stop by today to say, in order for us to eliminate those excuses, we have to do something. We have to do what the potter say. We have to sometimes move the clay out of the way. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Move the clay. See, in the hands of a potter, we are clay. And sometimes we block our own self because we don't want to move ourselves out the way. We come to church and we come here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And somebody somewhere brings something in the church that's not even involved with God, and they got it on their mind because they didn't move the clay out of the way. Are y'all with me this morning? Huh? So we have to understand how to move the clay out of the way. So Moses had excuses. One of the excuses that Moses had was his inability. When we look at Moses in chapter 3, we see Moses' first concern is that he is a nobody and is therefore unqualified to go up against Pharaoh and demand the release of God's people. Many in the church feel the same way. We feel that we are not qualified as someone else, or that we just don't have the ability to get the job done properly. Anybody ever felt like that in here? Anybody ever felt on your job? The boss might give you a project or give you something to do, and
you kind of look at them and you shift your eyes and you said, why me? But don't you know that evidently the boss have been reviewing and checking you out and watching you enough to understand that you would be the person to do that job?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have came to you.
Right.
Same way with God and Moses. If God had looked at Moses and thought that Moses couldn't fulfill the job that he called him to do, then he wouldn't have called on Moses. But because God knew what Moses could do, he called on Moses to go down in Egypt and to tell old Pharaoh to let his people go. And Moses, still with the inability, using an excuse that he don't have the ability to do it, didn't understand what God was talking about. But I come to tell you this morning that when God calls on you, he gives you everything you need to carry out the mission. If we dig a little deeper, we find out that God's response to Moses and to us is to give us a pair of precious promises. First, he tell Moses, I will go with you. See that? He didn't leave you alone. Then he promised of his presence. Secondly, he said, after you have accomplished what I have sent you to do, I'll even meet you there. Meaning that once you have obeyed God and did what God asked you to do, that you have a home not made with hands. And those are the things that we got to understand. I got a couple of points I want to make, and then this lesson will be yours. But we wanted to open up by understanding that Moses made excuses. Just like us, he showed his inability by saying, why me, Lord? Then he goes on and want to know, I have some inadequacies. I'm not the one. I can't do it. I stutter. But don't you know that whatever your inadequacies are, God can speak for you.
Amen.
And speak through you. So we need to stop making excuses when it comes down to teaching, working in the church, visiting the sick, all of these things that we do. God will be with us and he will work with us and get us through this. Is that all right?
Yes, it will. Amen.
What I've learned over the years is that we got to start understanding how to let the mind of Jesus be in us. What do you mean? Well, one thing I've learned, that every time Jesus attempted to do something or decided to do something, he prayed. He prayed. That's one thing we have got away from. We don't pray. You know, there was a time in the home when we came together, we sat around the table and the food is prepared, or we just come together as a family. Daddy's at the head of the table, mama's in her chair, the children are in their chair, and we pray for the food, and everybody had a verse, and they would say their verse, and then we would commence to eating. But you know what done happened? Time done changed. There's no more prayer time in the house, and that's why things are going like they're going. Folks are not coming together to pray together. But Jesus wants us to pray about every situation that we enter into and not make an excuse for what we're trying to do, but allow him to walk with us, talk with us, be with us, and excel us as high as he can. I remember when my daddy used to call us to the table. We sit down, he get his seat. My brothers, sisters get their seat. Mama get her seat. And he'll say his grace. I'll say my grace. And I always got a short one, Jesus well, so that I wouldn't forget. Yeah, that was, I wanted to use a short one. So I used Jesus well. But it got me through. And as I got older, I got a little more deeper. But the point was that it was a time that the homes came together. and the family came together to pray. And Jesus always wants us to pray. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. And he wants us to understand that when we got the prayerful mind, he said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So whatever you venture or go into, let your request be made known unto God. Not only do you have to have a prayerful mind, but you need to also have a positive mind. Don't be so negative before things even happen. You know, a lot of times we go in a meeting, I don't know about y'all, but we go in a meeting sometime and we say we want to look at doing this or doing that, and somebody say, well, brother, I don't think we can do that. Now, how do you know what you can't do and what you can do if you have not prayed about it and tried it? See, those are the excuses we make. We make an excuse before we even attempt the task. And God would be with us. He was with Moses. We got to start being more sincere and faithful in working for the master. The master want us to stand up, speak up, and continue to look up. He don't want us with our head down in our chest, but he want us to excel as high as we can so that we can show him that we can soar with the eagles. So we need to be positive. Philippians 4 and 8 tells us, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Positive. He don't want us thinking on things that can't be accomplished, but he want us to think on the positive thing. Just as he tried to direct Moses as he went down into the land of Egypt. He wanted Moses to understand, you might have inabilities, you might have inadequacies, but because I am with you, because I can speak for you, because I can guide and direct you, you will be able to finish the job. Amen. Not only that, when we let the mind of Jesus be in us, we have to learn to be patient. You know, a lot of us in a hurry. Somebody here this morning said, I wish you'd hurry up and get through preaching. We're in a hurry. We're in a hurry, brother. A lot of us are in a hurry. We want instant grits, instant toast, instant waffles, instant breakfast, everything instant, even instant service. But sometimes God, you know what gets me with this? God gives us 6 days to do whatever we have to do. 6 days, bro. 6 days. He give us 6 days to go about our business and accomplish and do things. He blesses us to make sure we go to work. He give us our health and strength. He give us 6 days. And on the first day of the week, we have to come together and lift up praises to him. And even then, some of us come up with an excuse. Did you hear what I'm saying? We're in a hurry. We're in a hurry. We better learn how to slow down. Because I tell you, we're living in the last days. And we need to set our house in order. Because nobody knows the time nor the hour that he's going to call. But it pays to be ready. And I don't know about you, but if he calls me, I'd rather be up preaching his word. Or I'd rather be in the sanctuary telling some folks about him. Because I enjoy talking about Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you know, we got those that'll talk about everybody but Jesus. Yeah, we got those that whisper and gospel and talk about folk. But I just come to tell you, God is not that kind of person. He wants us, you know, if you can't say anything good about a person, don't say nothing at all. That's why the Bible tells us to esteem others more than ourselves.
Right.
But we have to learn how to stop making excuses when it comes down to us doing something for the Lord.
I know we have a time that we go out and evangelize the area where we are situated. And we announce it Wednesday night Bible class, Thursday morning class, and we tell folks we want you to come out on this Saturday. We want to go out and we want to walk through the neighborhood and knock on doors and share a little bit of word with the Lord about Jesus with these families in this neighborhood. Let them know that the church here on Halsted giving out food on this day, and this is something else we're doing, and invite you in for a class. And every time we make those big announcements and all that, everybody gets the announcements. But I understand now when it said the harvest is plentiful. Y'all didn't catch that. But the laborers are few. Excuses come up out of nowhere. I got doctor appointment. I got to work today. I got to take the kids to the game. I got to go here. Excuse me. When are you going to sacrifice and give some time to the Lord who gives you every day? Every day. He touches us. He wakes us up. He starts us on our way every day. And yet, we're in such a big hurry to get where we're going. But he makes sure that you have enough. Look at us. Look at us. As I look through this order, nobody looks like they're hurting from malnutrition. You know why? Because God has blessed us to be able to eat decent meals and to have our health and strength. But yet we find excuses. Moses' inability, inadequacy. Those are excuses that Moses was trying to make before God. But every one of the excuses that Moses made, God had a way of cutting it down. Well, I don't have the ability. You know, he even went as far as asked God, who am I? Who am I? Why me, Lord? Why me? And God just had to let him know that I called you because I am who I am. Is that all right? And when we realize that when God put a task before us, that he have already saw the end and know how you're going to get there. You might not know. I might not know. But he knows how we're going to get to the end. And I come this morning to tell you that it's time for us to stop making excuses when it comes down to doing the will of the Lord. We have to begin to step up and understand that God don't need excuses, but he need folks that are willing to work and do the things that he want us to do. Moses had an excuse that he had a studying problem. He couldn't have talk, but God didn't worry about that. Moses didn't feel like he was the man to do the job, but God didn't worry about that. God let Moses know that I'm with you through thick and thin, and I'll be able to do the things that you think you can't do, but you gotta trust in me. See, if God calls us, he knows that we can accomplish the task through his power. If God calls us, he have done so with full knowledge of our weakness and our inabilities. He knows what we are capable of doing. I believe Psalms 103 and verse 14 tells me that he knows our frame. He remember that we are dust. Didn't I say we had to move the clay out the way? In order to accomplish some jobs, we have to move the clay out of the way to get the job done. I stopped by this morning to tell you that sure Moses had inabilities, had inferiorities, had infirmities, and had some inadequacies. But because God was with Moses, he was able to allow Moses to go down into the land of Egypt, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And I'm so glad this morning that God have stopped by the church house to tell us that whatever we need to do, that we are able to do it. How do you know? Because I read somewhere that God can turn your tears into triumphs, that God can change your gloom into glory, that God can change your weakness into strength, that God can change your rocks into roses, that God can change your worries into worship, that God can change your headaches into hallelujah, that God can change your failure into success, that God can change your enemy into your friends, that God can change your sorrow into joy, that God can change your duties into delight. God can change your frustration into faith when we stop making excuses. As I get ready to close, I want to go over, I believe, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 2, I believe, is what I'm looking for. I think that's where I want to go, where Jesus entered into Capernaum. Is that where that's at, Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2. Is that?
Yes.
All right, I need somebody to read for me. I'm closing now. I'm trying to show you something.
Mark chapter 2.
Yes, sir. Verse 1.
Verse 1. When he had come back to Capernaum.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
It was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer.
Hold it. He was back home and many came together. You see what happens when folks know that Jesus is in town. Folks come from everywhere. Come on, continue.
So that there was no longer room, even near the door.
Look at here. So many people came because Jesus was there, that there was no room at the door for them to get in. Now, he didn't do like some of us. Since it's so crowded, I'm going to go back home, throw your hands up, and let it go. He didn't do that. These individuals, after they saw that it was a crowd, what did they do? Continue reading, brother.
So that there was no longer room.
No room.
Near the door.
Near the door.
And he was speaking the word to them.
He was preaching the word. Come on.
And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men.
Here's a man that couldn't walk.
Being unable to get to him because of the crowd.
Because of the crowd.
They removed the roof above.
Look here. Look here. Hold it. Hold it right there. They keep your point right there. Because back then also, houses was made of clay. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Not only do you get your physical self out the way, but you get other obstacles that stand in your way. Why? To get to Jesus. Ooh. That's tough right there. In other words, they couldn't get through the door. So they went up to the rooftop and uncovered the roof by moving the clay and the swedes and the weeds that they had that performed these homes back then. And they uncovered the roof so that they could allow this man that was handicapped to be able to be let down
Wasn't no excuses made. Amen. They made a way out of no way. Amen. Because they Amen. Moved the clay out of the way.
Amen.
I'm saying this morning, stop making excuses. Amen. Just move the clay out of the way.
Amen.
And when you move the clay out of the way, then your blessings can come. Y'all don't believe that, dude. Come on, let me show you. Come on.
And when they had dug an opening.
When they opened the roof up. Uh-huh. Come on.
They let down the pallet. Paralytic was lying.
The pallet that the paralytic was lying on. They let it down into the house. Come on.
And Jesus.
Whoa, Lord. And Jesus.
Said to the paralytic.
He said to the man that was paralyzed.
Son,
your sins have been forgiven. See what happens when you move the clay out the way, when you don't make an excuse or not to come to the house of God and just show up because there's a blessing at the house for you. But in that same house, you got some folks that's in the house too, that we call them haters.
Well.
Because they're in the house. They don't want to see the goodness that you're doing carried on and carried out. So there are some haters that sit back and they watch and look at you. But yet, they still don't understand exactly who you are or who you serve. So after they let them down, and Jesus had told them that sins have been forgiven. What else? Come on, I'm going somewhere with this.
Some of the scribes were sitting there.
Didn't I just say there's some people in the house?
Well.
We probably got a few scribes in here this morning. Some of the scribes were sitting there. What were they doing?
And reasoning in their heart.
Reasoning in their heart, meaning they're making up in their own mind. Like somebody probably sitting here and say, I wish he would hurry up. Come on.
Why does this man get that rate?
Here's a question being asked. Why does this man? Who he thinks he is? Huh? It's right there in the book. Who he thinks he is? Come on.
Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?
Let me come down and get close to y'all. Y'all look like y'all not getting this. Trying to help y'all move the clay out of the way. See what's happening now. He said, who is this man? He's speaking blasphemy. Who is it? He can't do that. How he gonna just speak? Y'all still don't black out. Bro, you ever went in a room, these friends talking, and you walk in, they stop. They don't know who he is or what he can do, but yet they talking about
him.
Right. Come on, Benjamin. I got a couple more points to get in. I'm gonna close this up. Y'all look like I'm boring. If I'm boring, y'all are some crap.
Immediately, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves.
Look at here. Jesus knew because of who he was that they were reasoning him within themselves. Come on.
Said to them. Why are you reasoning about these things in your heart?
What are you doing that for? You know why? Because they hadn't moved the clay out of the way.
Well.
Come on.
Which is easy? To say to the paralytic. Your sins are forgiven.
Your sin.
Or to say, get up and pick up your pallet.
Come on.
But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home.
That's it. Get up and go home. What are you saying this morning, Brother Thomas? I'm saying in order for us to stop making it, allow Jesus to be our healer. And when we allow Jesus to be our healer, we can find him in the house. You see, Jesus is in the house. And they brought a helpless individual to the house where the healer was, in spite of the hindrance, in spite of the haters. They still brought a handicapped, helpless individual. But let us not forget that every now and then we need somebody to help us come to the house where the healer is. In spite of people trying to hinder us or hate on us, because one day what we're looking to do is to move the clay out of the way and make less excuses so that we one day can shout hallelujah. Is that all right this morning? Is that all right? Is that all right this morning? That's what we're trying for. We're trying for, and when you look at that, it goes a little further. It talks about how he wanted to glorify God, and glorify God, and just shout hallelujah. We must understand this morning that it ain't just about us, but God holds the whole world in the palm of his hand. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I came to God at an early age. I'm so glad I heard the preacher preach the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was small in age, but I had knowledge to understand that I wasn't doing right as a child. I walked down at the age of 10 years old. Brother Mark Miles Sr., my wife's father, was preaching. And he was preaching about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I had to move the clay out of the way to get down to the front. He asked me, son, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? My answer was yes. He said, that brought death to your Savior, but that'll bring happiness and peace unto you after you finish your watery grave of baptism. But I had to move the clay out of the way to keep from making excuses. This morning, somebody in here needs to move the clay out of the way and stop making excuses. We all can make an excuse. Why didn't you show up? Oh, I got tired of traffic was heavy. But I'll tell you, Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Nobody knows the hour nor the time. But I want to recommend that you have your home set in order. Do you hear what I said? Home. Not just your house, your home set in order, so that one day when he come back, you will be able to fly away with him. I've said enough this morning to help somebody understand that God does answer our excuses in a mighty and a powerful way. But he also wants us to understand, move self out of the way and allow him and his love to be in us. If we can do that this morning, if we can do that, we'll see things happen that he wants us to see. Do you see what God sees? And that is, he wants all of us to make heaven our home. So this morning, you've heard the word. It's up to you to believe it, repent of your sin, confess Jesus as your personal Savior, go down in the watery grave of baptism, come up a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you too can say, God, answer my excuses, because I moved the clay out of the way. Let us stand. Come and go.